Mike Tenier from the Bleacher Report joins us now. Mike, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. And this segment on 5 years, $70 million contracts is brought to you by Xerox. Xerox, because it is not collusion if everyone walks away happy.
are you saying the GMs were talking to one another and Demaryius Thomas and Dez Bryant got the exact same contracts?
Well, not so much that, but I think it kind of comes down. There were a lot of factors at play here, and one of them was the big ceiling. The ceiling was the Calvin Johnson contract of a couple of years ago, which is ridiculous. If you load up something like overthecap.com and look at contracts, you'll see this $13 million contract in there. And you'll see, what in the world is that? What planet is that from? And that's the Calvin Johnson deal. And that's where this whole thing started, because what it sounds like really happened is that, yeah, Elway and Stephen Jones were talking, and they mentioned that contract. They talked about it, and Stephen Jones probably didn't think it was that big a deal and sent it to Dez Bryant's people. So you have this situation so where there was collusion. But what there was also was kind of a floor and a ceiling to what these guys are worth. And you know, once you get Dez Bryant coming at a certain price, you know Demaryius Thomas is not going to make any more than that. So that becomes a matter of how much less than that you're going to pull in for. Their agent knows the drill. John Elway knows the drill. And suddenly everything falls into place very quickly.
Mike, which one of these two receivers in your mind, is there a guy who's clearly going to probably deliver more value for his $70 million deal over the life of it?
Well, I think Dez Bryant's the more dynamic player. He's somebody who can come in, play a variety of different roles. You know, I think of Demaryius Thomas, not really as a Peyton Manning system guy, because he's a side-speed marvel as well, had some good production before Peyton Manning arrived. But he's somebody who kind of works the sidelines more of a deep threat and a screen threat. Dez Bryant gives you everything. He's that level of player. That said, one of the reasons that we had all these variables going around is, you know, Dez is not 100% reliable as an individual. He's been pretty clean for the last couple of years, but there were all kinds of situations before. You know, if I'm putting money out, my concern with Dez Bryant is how many years forward do I want to project and guarantee if I've got somebody who, when things go bad, might get a little chirpy. For Demaryius Thomas, it's a matter of just saying, is he really worth this? When Peyton Manning goes, what kind of receiver do we have? That said, they've got a really good receiver. And again, both of these guys came in at a price point that the NFL is willing to live with, as opposed to the old Calvin Johnson rate, which was just too rich for anybody's blood.
Yeah, that was huge money. Mike, when you look for just on a pure fantasy number, then do you feel Dez Bryant is going to have a much bigger year? But when you look at quarterback and situation and everything else?
Oh, that's different, because when you look at fantasy, you know, I think Tony Romo is a heck of a quarterback, but I look at their offense and what they like to do. The Cowboys have one of the slowest offenses in the NFL. They like to sit on the ball. They obviously like to run the ball. I know DeMarco Murray's gone, but they've got a committee there. So that's a situation where Dez Bryant can be this high-impact player and have like four or five catches a game for, you know, 75 yards and a touchdown. Then Demaryius Thomas is out there. He's got to do more in that offense. You know, they're without Julius Thomas now. There's no more Wes Welker. He's clearly the number one guy in that role. That's a Peyton Manning offense. So he's a guy who would go out there, get 7, 8, 9 catches a game. But then at the end of the day, you say, well, you know, who, you know, was more of a important performer who did things the next guy couldn't do? It might be Dez. But if you say, well, I'm picking a guy for fantasy, you're going to lean towards Demaryius Thomas because of his role in the offense and because of the way that offense does business.
Mike, straight up real life on the field without the fantasy aspect, where does Bryant in your mind rank in that top tier of receivers? Clearly he's there. Is he top three? Is he top five? Where is he right now?
I think it's Calvin Johnson, and that's him, and Julio Jones, and then you got the Marius in the mix there. Jordy Nelson, I think, belongs in the mix at that level as well. But he's really at that level. And one thing that we've seen is, I think we've seen him mature as an individual and as a player, as a route runner as well as the last year or two. And I think he's somebody that when things are going well organizationally, you're going to have a player who's going to be a positive influence. And I think it's up to the Cowboys then to say, well, we had a very positive season last year. We have a coaching staff that's well established. We've got veteran leadership. Maybe Dez becomes part of that leadership. And you get this guy who is either number one or number two wide receiver on the field and somebody you can count on reliably off it.
Mike, the other one to discuss is Justin Houston to KC. Yes. How big of a acquisition is this for the Chiefs?
Well, it's a big acquisition. It's a little bit of a risk for them because they're a team that's in perpetual cap problems. And, you know, extending a $50 million guarantee across a couple of years isn't necessarily easy for them. But there was a decision they had to make. This is a team on the cusp of the playoffs. This is a young superstar. If you know anything about how the NFL works, you cannot just let those young superstars dangle in the wind. You cannot afford to lose them. You can't be a one-and-done contract team. So the Chiefs, for them to remain competitive, they needed him in the fold. They're going to go back again this year with him and Haale. That's what really drives their defense, that pass rush. So when you get him and Tamba Haale playing on the same side, you get a lot of, rush the passer from two different sides. You get the opportunity to go out there and win with the kind of offense they have, which is, you know, Alex Smith and Jamal Charles and running the ball. Necessary move. Kind of move that a team like that in the future, you might want to try and not go to deadline, because when you go to deadline, you're going to want to probably put a little more money on the table than you would have had to had you negotiated a little bit better beforehand.
Mike, I'm reading it's certainly the largest deal in Chiefs history. Where does it rank in terms of linebacker contracts?
It's one of the biggest ever. I mean, what I've got up here right now, and I just lost it, so I'm bringing it back, is the guaranteed money in NFL contracts right now, and he's coming in at around 50. The only guys with numbers like that are Dominican Sue, who just signed, Aaron Rodgers, who's obviously Aaron Rodgers, and Sam Bradford, who signed a really wacky deal a couple of years ago. So this is way up there. It's beyond J.J. Watt's money, to give you a sense of that. Now, Watt's guarantee is a little misleading because there's like a second guarantee that kicks in, you know, if he shows up, so to speak. So it's a little bit misleading. But this is up there. This is a new standard setter. And I think what you're seeing with all of today's contracts is we're establishing some new benchmarks for what these guys are going to be worth, these second contract guys coming into that big year when they're finally free agents. And we're seeing that $45 million number go around for those top-end wide receivers. And now we're seeing for the top defenders, for the guys in that Watt, Houston, 15-sack, 22-sack, whatever it would be, you're seeing that number of $50 million, and that's what guys are going to be shooting for moving forward.
Mike Tadir joins us from the Bleacher Report. Lots of NFL news. The big ones, Dez Bryant and Demaryius Thomas each have new contracts. Justin Houston is now a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. As we're getting a few weeks away from training camp, Mike, you talked earlier about Dallas and their offense and, you know, how they kind of move slow and how a lot of those things maybe, you know, people need to look into, really dive deep when you're looking at your fantasy team. Is we know Le'Veon Bell is going to obviously have a great year. Is there anybody that you think guys should look at, not for first round picks maybe, but later in fantasy, that you think could have breakout years this year?
You know what? It's funny. I have a hard time giving fantasy advice these days because I'm always worried that what I call a sleeper, people are like, I know about him. He's a third-round pick. If you look at the Dallas Cowboys, you look at their running backs, for example, a lot of people see Darren McFadden listed as a starter. I believe that Joseph Randle is going to be the guy who comes in there and winds up getting the bulk of carries behind the best offensive line in the NFL. And when you're in that situation, even if you're rotating, even if you're only going to get like 20 touches total a game, you're going to have a big bang for your buck. So Randall's the guy who's in there. You know, among the rookies, I'm really impressed with the situation that Melvin Gordon is in San Diego. Now, I think he's on everybody's radar. Everybody knows the number one pick from Wisconsin. If you look at the overall situation he's in, he's got a very good quarterback in Rivers, a line that's been kind of rebuilt, and a lot of money invested in the offensive line. Good overall team. This is a guy, I don't know if he's a second round, third round. I don't know it from fantasy at this point. But he's somebody who can get in there, wind up having the 1,200, 1,300-yard season, getting a lot of touchdowns for you as well.
Mike, just back to the Cowboys for me. A lot of the narrative around this Bryant signing, you see the headlines, Jerry Jones, Cowboys in win-now mode. Can they win now?
They can win now, and they have to be in win-now mode. The good news, if you're a Cowboys fan, is you look at that offensive line, and you can project that offensive line for like 5-6 years moving forward because they're so young. A couple of them are under these really, really good contracts. At the same time, you see Tony Romo's age, you see Jason Witten's age, and you know you've only got 1-2 years left where you can look at those guys and say they're going to be at the level they're supposed to be at, and they become cap problems as you move down the road. They can win now. I think they're up there. Now they've got this team intact. Now it looks like they're going to have Greg Hardy a little longer than we thought. They're up there in the mix with the Seahawks, with the Packers, as the teams you got to look at as the favorites in the NFC. They've got the offensive line. They've got the skill personnel. They got just enough on defense that they're going to win a lot of games by, 31-17, 28-17 scores.
Lastly, which first-round draft pick do you think has the biggest impact in his new team this year?
Well, I just listed Gordon as one. I guess it would be a little bit of a cop-out to say Jameis Winston. So let me give you somebody else here. You look at the Chicago Bears trying to rebuild. They have wide receiver Kevin White in the fold right now. He's been replacing Brandon Marshall. Look, he can't replace Brandon Marshall. But when you look at what he can bring to the table as a deep threat, as somebody who's going to give them a little more of a dynamic offense. Last year it was really just two wide receivers and Matt Forte, and that's all, and the tight end. There was no third guy, no slot guy. White's a deep threat. White's dynamic. They now have Eddie Royal as well to do some of that slot work. And I think this is a guy who's going to go out there and kind of change the nature of the offense a little bit.
Mike, always good to talk to you. We'll do it again soon. Appreciate your time.
No problem. I'll take care of that.